It's called the Lord's Prayer. It actually shows up in two of the eyewitness accounts, as we talked about last week. One is Dr. Luke, and Dr. Luke gives us information that Matthew, which is the other place it shows up, and in fact, Matthew is where we're going. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn to Matthew 6 on your devices, you can. Otherwise, we'll have it up here on the screen. But Dr. Luke gives us a little information that Matthew doesn't, although Matthew is more detailed in what he has to say about the prayer. But Dr. Luke says that when Jesus gave this model prayer to his followers, it was based on a question they asked. They said to Jesus, "We want you to teach us how to pray," which is a remarkable question because I suspect prior to meeting Jesus, they would have said, "We know everything there is to know about prayer," because it had been a part of their whole life. As a good Jew, as a good Hebrew, they had been taught words to say, how to say it, when to say it, where to say it, and they had the examples of the Pharisees and the religious leaders. But then when Jesus prayed, they saw him pray, there was something so dramatically different than anything that they'd ever been told that they realized, okay, something's different here. And so they said, "Jesus, we want to learn about how you pray, because what you do is I'm sure in their minds a lot better and a lot different than what we've ever been told prayers about." And so he does this, and we started last week into Matthew chapter 6. And prior to this, in verses 5 through 8, which is what we looked at in the beginning, he gives some warnings about prayer, which are remarkable warnings. We're not going to take the time to walk back through them this morning, but if you weren't here last week and you want to, get on the Facebook or the website and listen to those messages, because some of those warnings are going to be so surprising to you, because they're some of the very things that we do and people do today that he said, no, don't do that in prayer, or be careful of this. So then he gets into the prayer, starting with verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9. He starts with the prayer, and we talked about last week that quite often it is not unusual for pastors, when they're teaching about this Lord's Prayer, to actually skip past those first two words, the Our Father, which is a real mistake, because that sets the sentiment, that sets the stage for everything that he says from that point on. And I think that's why so many people misunderstand the Lord's Prayer, is because they missed what he said in the beginning. So he says, all right, if you're going to talk to God, here's what I want you to first recognize, and here's how he would want you to first start the conversation. Our Father. And we talked last week about the fact that that is a very intimate greeting, a very intimate reminder of the relationship that God wants to have for us. In fact, it's when Jesus said it, he would have said it in Aramaic, and he would have used the word that a little Hebrew child would call his daddy. He used the word Abba. So a little child, is if he wanted his daddy's attention, would call to him, Abba, Abba, Abba. And so he said, when you talk to God, he wants you to start the conversation this way. Dear daddy. Because he wants us to be very aware of the fact that what he is looking for is not religion, it's not lists, it's an intimate, close relationship, and that he loves us. Now, not all of us had great fathers. I had a very good father, but I know it's not everyone that's the case, but if you had the perfect father who loved you exactly right in every single situation and in every single way, that's what you need to picture, is that's the relationship God wants us to know. That's his heart for you and I, is that he loves us as a very special child. He wants to be our Abba, our daddy. And so he says that sets the stage for this prayer. If we don't go into this prayer, if we don't go into a conversation with God by first realizing how much he loves us and his heart for us, then we're going to miss the whole thing. And that's so different than often we're taught concerning prayer. So then he goes on, and in that verse 9, and we didn't look at this last week, but he says, Our Father in heaven. And so we got to ask ourselves, in light of the fact that he's already said, this is an intimate, close, tender conversation between yourself and a Father who loves you dearly, a Heavenly Father who loves you dearly. So what's our Father in heaven? You know, it's interesting, and as we think about Mother's Day, my suspicion is that there is not a parent in this room. Maybe you're brand new, young parents, so it's not, you don't understand, but especially you parents who've lived some life and you've watched your children grow. A common sentiment among parents, especially as our children grow up, is this sentiment that says, oh, I wish I missed some stuff. I wish I would have been there more. I wish I would have been involved. And especially nowadays when the economy has made it so hard for a family to survive without both parents working. And so lots of times your information that you get is from your daycare workers. They tell you what your child did. And so there's that deep sense that we all do. And especially when our kids get older, we start this like, oh, man, I missed so much. I wish I would have spent more time. I wish I'd been more this or that. And, you know, it's funny. My oldest daughter is her oldest son, which is our oldest grandson, graduates from high school next month. And we're watching Jenny right now, and she's really, really emotional about Noah. And part of it, I know, because having been there, part of it is that sense of, oh, it went so fast. And there are those times when I should have been there, that I wish I would have been there, that I wasn't there. And so we have those regrets. Our Father in heaven, you look at that in the assumption. Our assumption might be that that's making that acknowledgement that he is God and he's in heaven and he's on this throne and we need to recognize his position and his power and his authority. But that's not what's going on in that word. What it really is saying and what the emphasis is, I believe, especially in the context of this marriage, is, and what that word means is, he's everywhere. Our Father who's always there. Our Father who there's no place I can go, nothing I can walk through, no experience, no surprise, no heartache, no doubt, no any of those things where you won't be there with me. Our Father who's always there everywhere. In fact, it's interesting, the Psalms said the same thing. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? There's nowhere I can go, God, that you're not there and that you're not there for me. And that's what he wants us to recognize. As we start this conversation with him, he says, I want you to know, here's my heart for you. I love you. I'm your Father, and I care about you as my child. And you can't go anywhere that I won't be there with you. You can't walk through anything that I won't walk through it with you. You can't ever need wisdom that you can't say to me, God, Father, give me some wisdom about this. I don't know what to do. He says, as you start your conversation, here's what God wants you to realize about him, that he is your Father, and he's always there. And some of us really need to hear that this morning. Because you don't feel it. Maybe you've never even heard this before, that God would care about the details of my life, that he's there, but he wants you, that's the message he wants you to get from the Lord's Prayer, this prayer that we rattle off so many times without even thinking about what it really means. He says, here's what I want you to know, I'm there. There's nowhere you can go that I won't be there for you. You are my child. And I love you, and I'm there for you. And I want you to remember. In fact, I want you to remind yourself, when you start a conversation with me, I want it to be part of what you say. You're my daddy in heaven, and I know you're here. So I know I can talk to you about these things right now because you're here with me now. And that is such a cool thing to understand and to grab on and let it grab a hold of our heart. And I hope that you know that about God today. I hope that he is your Father, that you've accepted that gift of forgiveness so that, because he says when you do, he adopts you into his family as his child. If not, I want you to know he loves you. He loves you right now, where you at, whatever's going on in your life, he loves you, and he wants you to be his child. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father in heaven. And then he goes on. He says, next, what we need to say to our Father as we talk to him is, it's somewhere. There we are. Hallowed be your name. Okay, so we finally got to it. You know, we needed some balance in here. Somewhere, we needed to throw into the mixture here a reminder that, yeah, he's daddy and he loves us and it's an intimate relationship and he's always there for us, but he's a holy God. And so this is where we finally balance it out. And so Jesus is saying, now here, I want to make sure that you say at some point, recognize you are a holy God. Holy be your name. And so, is that what's going on here? I don't think so. I don't think at all this is what he has in mind. In fact, interesting to me is how he phrased this. I don't know if you noticed, but what does it say? And hallowed means holy. So holy is your name. Is that what it says? Holy be your name. Now what gives? His name, it's not like, you know, okay, So is that saying he's not holy? And so we're praying that, you know, part of what he's asked us to do is to pray for him that someday maybe he'd arrive and become holy. Is that what's going on there? Because that's what it says. It's written in present tense. That's why they put it that, phrased it that way. So the prayer is, I want you to be holy, God. And that doesn't make any sense because all throughout the rest of Scripture, we're told he is holy. He is a holy God. In fact, one of the things we're going to do when we get to heaven and we get to stand before him is we're going to sing that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So what's going on here? Why would he phrase it that way? Why would he put it in that tense so it kind of sounds like we're hoping that maybe someday he'll become holy? What's going on here? Here's what's going on, I believe. Based on the context and the way he phrases. This is a child saying to his dad, Daddy, I want you to be pleased with me today. I want you to be proud of me. I don't want to do anything that will make people think badly of you. So we're not talking about who God is. We're talking about who we want to be. So. Dear Daddy, dear Father in heaven, thank you for being there for me. Now, Lord, as I walk through this day, here's my heart. I know there are going to be these opportunities I'm going to do to make decisions that might have cause people not to think as highly of you as they should, and I don't want to do that. So help me as your child to live in a way that causes people to see that you are a good, a loving a holy God. Don't let me do anything that might make you ashamed to be my father. I've shared with you that in my own life, there's a period of time when I did not walk with God and made decisions during that time that I certainly am not happy about and ashamed of, actually. But it's interesting. I in the middle of all that, even though my father and I were at odds at the times, because I obviously was living in a way that certainly didn't line up with his perspective of who I should be as a son or as a person in general, I always had a respect for my dad. And so it's interesting that even at my worst, there were certain lines that I drew that I would not cross because here's my dad. He's the pastor of the only church in town, and it's a small town. And so there were certain lines I didn't cross because I did not want to hurt my dad's reputation. Now, he might say to you, well, you'd cross that line a number of times from his perspective. But in my mind, there were lines I said, okay, I'll go up to this point, but I won't go past that because if I do that, I'm going to hurt my dad's reputation. I don't mind hurting my reputation. I don't care what people think about me, and I'm not walking with God. I don't care about what God thinks. But I don't want people to look badly on my dad because of what I do as his son. And that's what's going on here. It's that child that says, Daddy, I don't want to do something that causes people to speak badly of you. So as we move into this day, Lord, I just want to, when I'm faced with those opportunities, when I could make a choice that might cause somebody to say, what? You say you belong to God and that's the kind of God you serve? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do anything that might make you ashamed that I'm your child. See, this is a very tender conversation. This is not this prayer that we're supposed to rattle off and not think about. He's talking to us about the fact that our God has such a huge heart for us. And when we talk to him, when we pray, he wants conversation. And he wants that conversation to be framed in how much he loves us as his child, that he's our daddy, that he's everywhere, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he wants us to have that heart that says, God, I want to do you proud today. I want to represent you well. Let's talk to that God right now. We're learning some things maybe in this prayer that we've never, ever thought of before. And as we frame it the way that your son framed it as he talked to his followers about it, it's changing our perspective. This prayer that we thought was all about pronouncing you as a holy, mighty God who sat on this throne in heaven, we suddenly find out is a very intimate conversation between a daddy and his child. A daddy who loves us, a daddy who is committed to always be there for us, regardless of what we might be doing or where we might be walking or the decisions what we've made. You're always there no matter what. A daddy who wants us to not just live in a way that represents him well, but for our sake, because you, Heavenly Father, love us and you only want our best. And so when we try to please you, we get to experience your best for us. Lord, I pray for each person that's in this room. I pray that everyone here who knows you as their daddy. But if there's someone here who's never understood how much you love them before, who has never, ever accepted that forgiveness that you're offering as a gift, there's no working for it. There's no religious requirements involved with it. It's just, Lord, thank you for offering me forgiveness. I want that forgiveness. I pray that they'll make that decision today. They'll accept that gift so that they can be your child. Thank you, Father, for giving us this prayer and allowing us to think through it together and let it impact our life as we move out into the world around us and as we sense your presence with us every step of every day.